All right, Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Pleased to have in-studio guest with us, Jason Kirby, the athletic director and head football coach at West Central. Coach Kirby, good morning. We go way back. We're friends, right? We've had some good times together and some low times, too. That's what friendship is all about.
Long time. I was thinking about that the past couple of days, of all the different things that we've done together in terms of watching high school sports, especially football, but basketball games and just the relationship over the past 10 to 12 years that's covered so many different areas.
And the first time I got to know you, I think you were at Bureau Valley, and you've had a long, lifelong friendship with Cully Welter, who grew up in Muhammad Seymour. You grew up in Tolono Unity School District in a small town, I think Philo, Illinois. And I think it was during like your playoff run at Bureau Valley that you came over to Aledo one night to converse with Coach Welter about strategy or something. That's where my first connection with you was. And I said, that's an interesting guy. And then Pat Elder left Sherrard. They had a going away party. And here comes Jason Kirby, the next head coach, who was at the going away party for Coach Elder over at Coach Munson's, right?
Right.
See, there's like a 7 degrees of separation.
Yeah, I actually remember I came to watch Cully play Forreston in a semifinal game. We had been beaten by Forreston the week before. And Cully and I were joking going into that week that being such good friends, we were going to play in the semifinals. And that was the first time Bureau Valley had been in the playoffs. And we started our nice little run there that we had went on. But I remember being in Cully's living room after that semifinal game thinking, wow, you're going to the finals again. And, you know, just kind of thinking that we had brought that program to a pretty close level to that and how much fun it was at that level.
Well, and I tell a lot of people in this business, you coaching business, sometimes you're a victim of opportunity, and sometimes you're a victim of circumstance. And one of the best small school teams that I ever watched in person was the Bureau Valley team that you coached that run into the team that no longer exists anymore but ended their run winning 7 state titles in a row. We're talking about Driscoll Catholic out of Addison. And if I remember correctly, that Bureau Valley team down at Memorial Stadium marched down the field, I think scored on your first drive.
Scored on our first play.
and that woke up the beast of Addison Driscoll Catholic, and their nickname, I'll still remember, the Highlanders.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that's where you're a victim of circumstance.
Yeah.
If you play any other small school program in the state that year, you hoist the trophy.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Wilmington was awfully good that year. Tolono Unity, what we knew really well was...
But they didn't play on planet Mars like Driscoll Catholic did.
No, it was the one year that, you know, they won 6 4A titles and they won 1 3A title. And that 3A title was in 2004, darn it. I remember the next year they got beat in the quarterfinals and their run ended. And the Monsignor announced that they were closing their school. And I joked around with a whole bunch of people, hey, somebody call up there and get my trophy they stole from me.
Yeah. So do you think, because I want to get into some of the 8-man stuff and saw the 12-year-old bill that was introduced this week about outlawing football for youth 12 and under. But do you think the IHSA will ever figure out how to classify non-boundary schools? That's going to be an issue that probably never goes away with the multiplier, the waiver, the success factor. And most of the coaches, because I'm an Alleman grad, so I get into these debates with Alleman guys, and they'll say, why are you turning so, you know, anti-parochial school, Taylor? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't think you should be classified the same way as a public school. I like the football enrollment equation they had, where basically it equates to almost the average enrollment of your opponent. Because I'm fair with the Newman Central Catholic playing in the small school classification because that's who they play during the
year.
And
that's who they are.
But Alleman, you know, I say that you don't want to play in the regular season. It doesn't do you any good to play us during the regular season. So you need to play people more of your competition level in the postseason. Am I wrong on that, or what do you think the answer is for that?
No, we're of the same level of thought there. I like the opponent's enrollment for parochial schools. I don't have any a desire for the parochial schools to have their own class, as a lot of people speak about. I love them being within that. The traditions at Alleman and Newman, I want to play those people. I was just thinking the other day, the first time we played Mike when I was at Bureau Valley, he was kind of having a down year, and a down year there isn't anyone else's down year, but I remember saying we didn't have to beat Newman, we had to beat their mystique. And we get there, and they've got, it's more than a mystique printed all over the entire stadium. I knew what I was getting into then. It's a little different deal.
Well, and I tell you, when I reflect back to some of the games that I've covered where I think it's just not fair this local school I cover got beat. And I date back to, a lot of people say when you talk about Girard football, you got to talk about the Alwood Rova game with Coach Elder. And that was one of those situations, too, where I was sad, and I'm like, I can't believe this team got knocked out. But I still say that team you coached at Girard with Logan Fry and James Stratton, who was on here a couple of weeks ago. How about James Stratton, man? What a dude.
What a dude, man. He's stud.
Number 56, James Stratton.
But I can't look at him on TV with his hair like it is right now. Yeah, that's exactly right. Same thing, I think.
Yeah. So, but that year, I'm like, that Girard team did everything but win. I mean, they did everything but win. Because you had two. I remember, how are we going into the locker room with down 6-3 or up 6-3, and we have freaking 250 yards total offense at halftime? Mm. And I'm like, well, because it's that guy standing across the sideline named Mike Posey, apparently.
Yeah.
And that was where I thought that team that year was pretty doggone good.
I thought that team had a chance to win it. Miller getting hurt in the Macomb game, breaking his ankle.
He's a 1,000-yard rusher from his junior year on. Yeah.
Meant that you had to move Bribey to running back, and then you, instead of having Bribey, Miller at running back, or at halfback, and Miller at fullback, it takes away a little bit. But, yeah, wow, what a team on defense. You know, Johnny Mack running the defense. We were pretty good.
Yeah, Stratton was a tremendous high school football linebacker. There's no question.
Yeah. He was a clinic that, tape watching.
Don't brag at home, Stratton. Worry about the 6 o'clock newscast tonight.
Fry running triple for us.
Yep. So we want to get into some of that. But the big stories this week, the bill that's been introduced in Illinois, I don't know how much traction it's going to get, banning football, tackle football for kids 12 and under. What do you think?
Surprisingly, I'm a football coach that isn't a huge proponent of tackle football at younger levels. I love kids playing, really young kids playing soccer, playing basketball, running up and down the court, developing hand-eye coordination. But not playing tackle football until you get in junior high is something I'm fine with. I think that it helps get kids excited about wanting to be involved. The main thing I've always told our lower level coaches is that if you have 12 kids this year, I want there to be 13 next year, because they see that it's so much fun, more kids have to come out. And if it's not like that, it's going to be a bad experience, and you're going to deteriorate your football team. And you can't argue the tests and what's coming about. Football is a safer sport than it's ever been in the history of our sport. Right now, it's the safest it's ever been. We have better medical. We have better understanding. All of those things. We have much, much, much better equipment. So it's the safest it's ever been. That's what people are forgetting about in all of these complaints about our sport. But yet at the same time, there is some ideas for growth on reduction of contact that will help long run for our sport.
And I would agree somewhat to that, but I still think, do you really need to introduce a bill to basically make it against the law if you play tackle football, you know, at 12 and under, it's against the law?
Well, I think they have a lot more things they could argue
about. Well, and I agree. So, here's my concern about it, and it's more of the football on trial thing, that the perception is, yeah, football's bad. I mean, so the perception, you see my argument is, so if you do that at age 12, football bad, don't play. So, therefore, you know, the opportunity for kids to do other things then, besides getting introduced. It's a double-edged sword, so to speak.
You can turn
kids off at a young age by playing football and having a bad experience. Yeah, that happens. But two, you can get this word out there. See, I told you football is bad. They're banning it. They're banning football for kids that are 12 and under.
I can see where you're saying that. I can see the truth in kids having different experiences, never having the idea of playing football at a younger age, and then just never getting involved because they hadn't done it. You know, if you talk to Jim Unruh, though, they never have tackle football even at the junior high level down there. He's won a game or two at the high school
level. Now, but they do play JFL. The kids have the opportunity to play JFL in some of the areas, but it's not with under the umbrella. And I truly believe that that's where football's going at the junior high level, that I think you're going to see no more tackle football at the junior high level. If you want to play, it's going to be a club type of situation. Not necessarily, but I mean JFL, that type of stuff. You think or not?
I think that JFL will disappear. I don't think it will at the junior high. At West Central, I think we're gaining strength. I think our numbers are getting better, and I think that there's more involvement rather than less.
Do you have fall baseball at West Central, too, at
yes.
the junior high level. Now, that works. Fall baseball is like August in September,
mm-hmm.
and then you play, and then the junior high football schedule that you participate in is like mid-September to mid-October.
We don't start junior high football until junior high baseball is finished.
And so both can work.
Yep.
One another. And I think football, junior high football, should be basically a later
and
in
shorter.
The school year. Yeah, and, you know, fall type, a true fall type of sport where it's mid to late September to October, play maybe five games max, something like that.
I think it's a great setup because you're not making kids choose. And any time you can get kids to have multiple experiences and not choose, then you're going to be more and more successful. And we also have our coaches involved in all of that, so everybody's working together.
All right, and this is solely Jim Taylor speaking this week. This
will be good.
All right, I'm a true believer that this area, some schools need to start looking at eight-man football, and I think some of it needs to come from the Lincoln Trail Conference. Am I wrong on that?
I think that there are going to be some schools that if they don't look at that, they might not have competitive 11-man football in the very near future. I think that that's a reality.
Well, what do you think the threshold is for?
Threshold, what do you mean?
Of saying that we need to sit down and have a serious discussion about eight-man football. Is it enrollment, or is it participation, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's participation. Villa Grove down in central Illinois has 130 kids. They still have 40 kids come out for football. It's something that they love. You know, at West Central, we have 250 kids. We'll have 40 kids out for football next year. I think that that's a good number. I'm excited about that.
In the thing that you look at, though, now the rule is, I mean, you graduated what year?
High school. 91.
91. So the rule now is if you have 40 kids on your roster, that's freshman through senior. I'm talking about most schools that I cover in this area.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing. The exception is if you get 60 kids, which that used to be the thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I ask about the future of football. Can that trend be reversed where you go back up, or what about, I mean, what's the likelihood of it's going to continue going down?
I think it's per environment that you're in. I'm sorry, but the charisma of the coach is going to have a great deal to do with the number of people who are involved in your sport. People want to be around positive, exciting people. Tolone Unity has 108 kids out for football. Monticello, I think Cully's probably turning kids away with the success that they're having down there right now. We're getting more and more kids. I don't know that I'm that charismatic. People certainly don't like me, but I think kids are excited about football around there right now. I think that a lot of it is leadership, and you can't get away from that.
Yeah, and then the buy-in from mm-hmm. everybody else from your assistant coaches to
your assistant coaches,
to your
administration, other coaches within the athletic department. You all have to get along and work together and make sure that everybody's building towards a common goal. If you don't have that, I mean, I'll say this. At Bureau Valley, the greatest proponent, and I'll say this to anyone in the world, the reason we won was because of Brad Bickett. I'm sorry, I'm not hurting anybody's feelings, but the best basketball coach in Illinois, Brad Bickett, was the reason we were successful. Phil Enders, Adam Gutschall, the All-Staters ended up being for us in football were because they played. The only reason they played was because when I got there, Brad Bickett said, football will be good for you. They went out. Eventually, we had a pretty decent program there, and well, he was okay, too.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it's a perfect segue. A couple weeks ago, we had Coach Breeden, longtime wrestling coach, your Alito coach with the Coach McCarty, mm-hmm. and
Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and Bob Benton was on. And Coach Breeden brought up the fact about the successful runs that Alito / Mercer County had in football. When you look back, yeah, they had the 14, 15 primary guys that really loved football. That was their thing. But you know, each year, if you just only get the 14 or 15 primary football guys out and that's it, you're not going to have this successful season.
Nope.
It's the secondary guys that football's not the first love. It may be their second or third love, but they play.
Because and they have an integral part in what you're doing.
And they're the difference between, you know, great, good, average, poor. You know, in any year you need. And that's what I'm seeing less of, though, today, and I think that's a true trend, is that the kids, that their secondary interest is football, they're not going out. Would you agree? You see what I'm saying?
I see
I'm not
it
talking
in some
about
places.
Your specific school, but I'm just saying there's a lot of that where you can go secondary. A kid that would help the football team, he kind of likes football, but he's just like, hey, I don't want to do it.
I see exactly what you're saying in terms of some sports are going to a year-round idea.
All
that
sports
they're going. Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I mean, really.
And when people monopolize doing that or tell kids that that's the best way for them to be successful, then, yeah, then those secondary kids aren't going to end up going out for your sport.
That's the difference. And the one thing, and I'm not here trying to throw anybody on the bus, but getting back to this football on trial thing that I think a lot of what we're seeing portrayed here is with these different things that are brought up. I don't know how to phrase this because I don't want to offend a lot of people. I'm trying, you know, do you think that is then in some instances used against football in terms of other sports that say, well, you should.
I mean, other coaches saying you shouldn't play because you
can
get
hurt? Well, I'm not necessarily saying that. I don't want to come out and say be that blunt about it. But do you see what I'm saying, that that's used against the sport of football? In certain instances, well, maybe you don't want to play football because you'll get CTE, you'll get concussion, and you'll have to clear the concussion protocol, and you're not going to be able to play basketball. You're not going to be able to wrestle. You're not going to be able to run track. You're not going to be able to play baseball.
I'm sure that happens. I'm sure it does. I mean, the coaches I've worked with though, Brian Hutton always wanted his kids to play football. He thought that it was an integral part of them becoming better basketball players. Bick, as I said, baseball coaches that I've been in. Glenn Cook, he wanted you to play everything. Mm-hmm. Now, with the media and parents hearing that nonstop, there might be a parent here or there that uses that against football to get their son not to play if they don't want them to, but I don't know. I don't think it does. I mean, once again, it's up to me as the head coach to be a good enough salesman and to be out there making those relationships with those parents to realize that we're going to do what's best for them and we want what's best for them at the same time. And when you do that, everybody wants to be involved in your program.
So back to 8-man. Maybe we cut you off. We're getting off track here. We need to talk like 3 hours. So 8-man, what do you think?
Man, I'd have to go back to school.
I don't know, though. Do you think? I mean, it's just 3 linemen.
I don't know. Heck, you wouldn't get to run option football. It's criminal, isn't it? I don't know.
But it's going to be a thing, right? I mean, you get that. I mean, it's. I mean, because.
Well, I think when you see the television shows that it's so popular in Texas with the little, the small schools there that somehow have enough funding to stay open, and then they have 6- and 8-man football, and you know they're playing in Jerry World for their championships. Yeah, I suppose it's if this size of school, the size of school we're talking about with the 106 to
I think under 300. I think even under 400. I mean, if you're looking at 40
that, there's
members,
a possibility
that if you know because we get into this, you know, it's not about just fielding a competitive varsity team. You know, it's about fielding a competitive JV team. And I remember I was talking to Terry Anderson. You know, was on the very good Cambridge staff with Coach Dahl, where they won state titles, and then he took over the Ridgewood Co-op. And I remember I was having a conversation with him one summer, and you always hear, you know, that they're in this pattern where they're forced to play freshmen and sophomores by attrition, right?
At the varsity level?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're just playing because they have to. Because they don't have the numbers to field juniors and seniors at those spots. So the rope-a-dope is always, well, man, by the time they're, you know, juniors and seniors, that team going to be good.
Well, if they're good players,
well, he said, yeah, that's right. Well, he said, he goes, but then you don't realize that what type of bad experience can that kid have as a freshman who's not ready to play, and he's got to line up a kid on a Friday night against those Stark County runs or those Mercer County runs where they had monsters on the defensive side of the ball or up front. And do you think that kid that's going to take at least two Friday nights absolute beating for 48 minutes, do you think that kid's more likely to stay and play football his junior and senior year? Answer, probably no. And so you kind of saw that over there because – the kids just can't sustain that beating if they're truly not ready to play. So I look at those type of situations and say, well, you don't have the numbers to field a competitive varsity team. Maybe it would be a little bit better for you if you only needed 3 linemen instead of 5 and you went to 8-man, and then you could truly have a JV team that could play too. That's the long story short, or short story long, when I look at 8-man football, using that as an example.
Yeah, you're right. It 8-man football to me, I'm not kidding. It's like Chinese. I know it's a language, but I
seven different languages.
I've got nothing on that. I'd have to. Whew.
Now, when I talk to I get the Lawlers mixed up.
The
Alden Hebron coach. I know. Is it Mike at Stillman Valley?
Yeah.
And we had him on, and he was kind of that way initially, like you, man. I'm an old school football dude. I can't do it. I'm midline veer. Yeah. You know, well, he's bit off the 8-man football and run with it. I mean, he's the face for it.
Mike Lawler is?
No, John Lawler,
yes.
His brother.
Yes, John.
But
Lawler
he was an old school football guy, so he's adapted to it. So I think
I think it's going to happen. Greater thought process to me is what would that do to the class system in Illinois,
and that's the big discussion.
And how would it change it? You know, the distance or the size of, let's just say, 1A goes from 310 now to, holy cow, I mean, probably up to 400 pretty quick. And then you're dealing with a huge disparity, and that then probably gives rise to 8-man football when you're at a school of 250 and you have very small shot at winning state title anymore. So
yeah, and I think that's one of the discussion items that they have to iron out on. You know, it's declared an emerging sport now, but I can't remember when I talked to Craig Anderson the percentage of what they like in terms of the number of member schools. I think it's 10% of the 890, but then they said when we would look at football, it'd be 10% of the member schools that play football. So I think he said maybe
66,
something like that. So, and I think that is coming sooner than later. But the classification in the state tournament series is going to be the big determining factor of how they go forward, because it's going to have an impact. And, you know, we could talk for the next hour about what is it going to do to conference affiliation, because you're seeing portion of that Northwest Upstate Illini that's a pretty proud football tradition means some of those schools are going to eight-man polo in 2019. That means there's going to be some schools that have the identity of the Northwest Upstate Illini that play in the Three Rivers Conference now, vis-a-vis Morrison and Fulton, that are going to say, well, we're better suited to go to the Northwest Upstate Illini Conference. What does that do to the Three Rivers Conference? So that's the other domino that's going to be falling soon, too, I think, in all this. And that's just speculation and conjecture on my part, but that's coming.
Well, there's no doubt that when openings occur in conferences that allow for, one, travel to be a better opportunity for places, but then size enrollment a better fit, that there's going to be movement. And if you think that we've seen a lot of movement up to this point, if you start instituting those schools having the opportunity to go eight-man, then the conference structure is going to go crazy.
Well, and then the other thing that I look at, did you see the sports medicine advisory recommendation this week from the IHSA?
I have not.
One play equals one game. So you can play max two games.
A week?
A week, which I think that most schools, you can only do that now, per se. But, you know, the one play, one game definition is a little bit concerning, too, of they've kind of opened up the box. What other restrictions are coming down the road? In those type of decisions, that doesn't impact Maine South.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no.
That doesn't impact the 6A, 7A, 5A, 4A schools, probably even 3A schools per se, maybe some of the lower end 3A schools, but 1A and 2A schools, that has a significant impact, again, on those type of decisions, impact the sport of football, and I think may be another push towards eight man. I got to take a break, though. I want to come back. We're already at 9:36, and we still got a whole bunch to talk about with Jason Kirby in studio with us on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.